This is a podcast from Minute Media.
In the fall each year we all congregate, the bound all gathered at the church of tailgate. The scriptures reading from the book of Munson, our favorite verse, my God, a freshman. Drunk and obnoxious, we'll choose your fate. Ain't nothing finer in the land. Now the 3,000 of our best friends, it's Saturday and last thing.
Welcome to the Saturday in Athens podcast. We're a Georgia Bulldogs show by dogs fans for dogs fans. I'm your host, Herschel Gurley, joined as always by my co-host, Boss Dog. And Boss, I'm a little tired this afternoon. We had a big weekend in Athens, and it was pretty electric. How did the stadium look and feel on the TV broadcast? Because it was vibrant in person.
It was awesome on the TV broadcast, no question. The defense was flying, and you could feel it on the TV broadcast. Every time that South Carolina had the ball, it sounded loud. And I feel like that's going to be a theme all season. It reminded me very much so of 2018 and early 2019 home games. And I like I said, I really feel like that's going to be a theme this year, that Sanford's going to be rocking, especially after not being able to go last year full go. And, man, I hope we have more night games, man, because that was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere. Athens was alive all day. We kind of broke our day into two parts because we had my big kids hanging with us partly to celebrate my son's birthday, upcoming birthday, and then also my daughter's first trip to Athens and at a game between the hedges. So we went out and kind of went around downtown Athens, I don't know, around 11. Perfect. Like, just gorgeous blue skies, sunshine. And, you know, we went in and out of the shops downtown, and everybody was in a good mood and doing well. And we stopped by Ornwood Reserve and had ourselves a mimosa, and it was delightful. And then we went over to Hurdy Field with the kids and, you know, hung out, threw the football around, and then walked down and did a bookstore trip. And then we went back at about 3:30 to the hotel. And even in like the window, we were at the hotel from like 3:30 to 5. When we came back out at 5, North Campus had like blossomed. Like, tons of tents were out that weren't there when we were there around 1:30 or 2. And man, it was great. And then going into the stadium, like, dude, we got in the stadium probably 10 till 6. I mean, it's not like we were there late or anything. And the stadium was already tons of people inside, and pretty much, and I think I saw somebody tweet about this, the entire student section was full. Like, paint line, spike squad, it was full. And then we got there, we tried to make our way over to see the spike squad. And right as we got to the spike squad so the kids could see them, the like security and ushers people like on the pavilion are like, you guys got to get out of here. You can't be here right now. Marching band's coming. So then we like kind of get filtered away, and then the whole marching band like flows in. And so then they're like getting themselves ready. And I don't know, man, it was a cool, cool atmosphere. And they were doing something that, this is a little tangent, but you would have loved. They did this thing where, I don't know if it was like Georgia Auctions or who was running it, but at like four different points in the stadium, they had all of this memorabilia set up, like signed jerseys, signed pictures, signed footballs. And it was like a silent auction. You just make a bid. And then if you won the bid, you come back in the third quarter, it's yours. And so,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they took bids till like halftime. So we kind of milled around and looked out for a little bit. But we got to our seats, I would say around, I don't know, maybe 6:30. And I mean, dude, you know, I love all the pregame stuff. So marching band came out and played, and Lone Trumpeter, and then Battle Hymn. And I don't know, you know, hair just stands up on your arms because it was just so cool. And then the dog's entrance now. is just, I mean, it's alive. Like, they got the image on the screen. I sent you the video, but they got the image on the screen of like the chains around the door, and I don't know. Then they come out, and man, it was rocking. Like, that decibel level thing they have all night was, I would say, in the beginnings, around 100 to 103 in that range. And then on certain big third downs and stuff, it was hitting 100. And I would say it stayed pretty steady in the 95 to 98 range. I mean, it was rocking. And I mean, this is, we'll talk about the game, I promise, but this is important too, because it's like the experience is just so awesome. When they got to the third quarter, at the end of the third quarter, and did light up Sanford, and then rolled that light up Sanford right into the red lights, and that whole place went red. I mean, it was like the best party you've ever been to. Because, you know, by that point, Georgia's just laying South Carolina out. Some people had left already because it was such a blowout. You know, the energy had gotten a little lower in the stadium. And after that, it was like it was kickoff again. Like, you could just feel it. And yeah, man, it was awesome. And that student section was so involved and so just, I don't know, man, they were energetic all night and they were standing all night. And, you know, they gave out, because it was the red out, they gave out only the red, like, I don't know, pom-pom's the wrong word, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Things were just shaking all night, and it was really, really cool. So it was great. And obviously it helps that they came out, start hot, stay hot, right? I mean,
yeah,
they came out rolling. And can we just talk about this? Like, because it's been going on since game one, and we talked about it when we watched game again last night. Does Channing Tindall have a jetpack on underneath his shoulder pads? Like, your boy is just flying around the field, and I love it. I told you early he was one of my, like, breakout guys. After we saw him at G-Day, I thought he was going to have a good year just because he's primed and ready. And you know he was extra motivated last night being from South Carolina. And, God, he just covers. There was a play. Let's see if you remember the play I'm talking about. I'm pretty sure it was second half, maybe third quarter. I haven't watched TV copy yet, so I can't pinpoint it for you. But South Carolina was maybe at like the 38 or the 40, their own 38 or 40. And they threw a flat play to the running back. And he looked like he had some space and he was maybe going to get 7 or 8 yards. Dude, Channing Tindall came out of nowhere. Like, he was shot out of a cannon and drops the kid for like a 2-yard gain. So it goes from what we thought was going to be second and short to second and eight. And I mean, we're not talking he like tracked down tackle eligible or something, like South Carolina's running back. I mean, and he's doing it every single week. He makes at least one play like that where you go, whoa, who's 41? You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't know who the roster was, that's what you'd say. Oh, who's 41? And he is flashing a lot. And I will tell you, somebody that I noticed a ton last night is Quay Walker. Quay Walker was everywhere. I know he had that tough face mask penalty on the stack, but boy, he came like he was shot out of a cannon on that play too. I mean, they just, they're so fast and they're playing such a good assignment football. And I can't remember the exact quote, but did you happen to watch SEC final last night? Chizik was talking about the ball game and he was just lauding Dan Lanning and saying like, this team is so well prepared. They don't miss guys in space. They're where they're supposed to be. And he's right. He's absolutely right. You know, even the big play that started the game, they weren't set yet.
Yeah.
So, like, that was kind of a fluke thing. And then the other field goal was off the interception. So, I mean, I don't know. They looked so dominant last night. But, yeah. I mean, when you were watching it, TV copy, I've told you this before. It's getting to the point now where I love the TV copy as much as being there, just because the angles are so good and you can kind of see so many things. Like, what were some things that really stuck out to you watching last night?
Well, it's really hard on the first watch because your emotions are involved in it. So like, I don't catch everything. So I watched it. I always watch it again the next day. So I watched it again this morning. So And on the TV copy, Quay does not flash as much as, like, I noticed him a lot more last night than I did on my second watch. So, yeah. But Tindall, every time he's on the field, is, you notice him every single time. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that the rotation between Quay and Tindall, it's so beneficial. Mm-hmm. But because Dean does not come off the field, it feels like, unless we're up by a ton. But those two, every single time they're on the field, they make plays. So it's getting to the point where it's hard to keep them off the field though, because they're making so many plays, but you can't take Dean off because he's making plays too.
Yeah.
So there's two plays that really stood out to me, and both were in inconsequential plays. Well, one was not really a big play, but it was the first drive of South Carolina game when they did the zone read and they ran Nolan, which Nolan kept it. And I mean, he's not a fast guy, but Nolan Smith, you know, ran him down and, you know, pretty much set the tone for the entire game right there on defense. Yep. Like, you're not going to get the edge on us. That play right there just kind of set the tone for the entire game. It was only a two yard run, not a big play, but you could see how fired the defense was, just kind of set the tone for the entire game, but not a big play, you know, a 2 yard stop, 2 yard run. It wasn't a tackle for loss. It wasn't a sack, not a big play, but that play right there, you could see how fired up the defense was. And how fired up it just was, like, okay, this is how this game's going to go on the defense side of the ball. And then a play, this was later in the game, and this is after they had that big play to Van, after they got in the field goal, this is after they had, I don't remember what the score was. They had 6 points, I know that. And Doty was in, and they had already had the long pass to Van, and they had had another long pass down the left sideline. And then this is the one where they thought they had gotten the completion and Cena knocked it out.
Yes.
And they overthrew the guy. But they were going after Ringo, and they overthrew the guy by about 10 yards. And Ringo was behind the guy. And when he overthrew him, when Ringo knew it was an overthrow, Ringo went after it. And Ringo looked like, same thing like Tindall, looked like he had a jetpack strapped on his back. And if he would have really gone after it, I'm not 100% sure he couldn't have gotten. Like, if he would have dove, like, he looked real. I mean, it may not have been as close, but on the TV copy, he looked like he was only a couple yards away. So those two plays really, really stood out defensively. Offensively, I'm not trying to be negative Nancy here, but Schaefer looked better. Erickson did not have a good night last night. He did not. He got beat up pretty bad last night.
You know who else didn't have a good game last night? Looked,
who?
South Carolina
Center. Who? Oh, no, he's not. And they're boys.
Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt, they're ate him up all night long.
That's Jordan Davis's high school teammate.
Oh, he blew him up all night long. I mean, first off, I feel like we just kind of just accept it now because he's so good every single week. Jordan Davis is making himself some money right now. Like, he is doing things that
he really is.
Are absolutely dominant and game-changing. And he's doing it at a speed that a man of his size should not be able to move at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he is making himself some money every single week. And for me, he's the straw that stirs the drink for that defense. Like, he makes it go because he lets everybody else do what they want. And I love what he said. I can't remember if it was last week or after the Clemson week where he said, two on me, somebody's free. And he feels that. Yeah, he feels that. And, dude, he takes that on. And in all honesty, even with two people they can't block, I mean, he is having a big, big, big time year from an effect perspective, play to play. I'm really glad you brought up Nolan because I thought this may have been one of the better games he's played in his college career.
He was all over the place.
He was very noticeable last night. Every time something would happen, you go, oh, man, that's four again. Like, and I love Nolan. I think he is the type of guy that you want in your program. He works, keeps his head down. But, look, you can't fight expectation, right? And the expectation when he came in was that he was going to be the next big thing. And he's kind of had to wait for it a little bit. And I thought last night was probably one of the better games of his college career, maybe the best game of his college career start to finish. I just thought he was very active and involved and was everywhere and in a good way. And he obviously started off the season right in Charlotte. He had a good game that night too, but last night he really looked like a game breaker. And also, this is continuing to become the year of Adam Anderson.
Yeah.
Whether it's on defense, whether it's on special teams, he is a problem for people. And he's another one, like JD. He's making himself some money every week. I mean, he is an absolute freak of nature with the way he moves. Did you see the hit he had on special teams last night?
Yeah.
Knocked that kid back to Columbia.
And, I mean, you got to think about it. You look at it, how many five stars on Georgia's roster play on kickoff and punt and punt return.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that. I was looking at kickoff return last night, and the guys on that front line, they're pretty much all starters. Like,
yeah.
Big time.
Or at least two deep. And they get, like, as much as Georgia rotates on defense, especially, they get solid playing time.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I will also say, I thought Darion Kendrick had a great game last night.
He did. And the one play that he got, gave up the pass, I mean, he was in perfect position. I thought he was going to get the interception.
He was in a perfect position.
If he's an inch taller, that's a pick.
Yes, correct. Well, I also told Chris this last night when we were watching it. I said, you know, he is becoming where I don't even think about offenses getting anything on that side. Like, I don't even go, oh boy, I don't know what's going to happen on that side of the field. You just kind of are now going, well, they ain't getting nothing off DK. Like, it's just not going to happen.
He's reminded me a lot of Baker in 18.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of year he's just like, he just shuts that side of the field down.
Yes. And his energy is fantastic. And I don't know if you see it much on the TV side, but I noticed it when we were in Charlotte. And we both had talked about this. We kind of attributed it to, well, he's fired up.
He's playing Clemson. Yeah.
But he was the same way last night. It was exactly the same. And after he got the pick, he ran down to the student section that's in the end zone and was like pointing at him and like going crazy. And it was awesome. So, yeah. And once again, it was very noticeable last night on the sideline how locked in they all are as a team. Like, every time something good happened, everybody's going crazy. Just one unit, man. Well, I do want to talk to you about this because I was interested to see – well, answer me this first. Was Kendall down on the fumble or not?
I think he was down. Yeah. I was shocked when because they showed the replay. The announcer said that it's going to get overturned. It went to commercial break. It came back in South Carolina ran a play, and they didn't talk about it again.
It's interesting that's how it went on TV because it was the same way in the stadium. Kirby called a timeout. He was flipping out. Like, he's essentially like, he's down. Like, you guys aren't going to review this? And so then he calls timeout, and Kendall said immediately, you could see him on the field just pointing, I was down. And we all just expected, oh, they're going to review it, and it's going to go, and it's – like it was in Charlotte, 3-minute commercial break. So we're like waiting for the tick down. And then referee didn't even come out. It never went under the hood, never came out, talked to anybody, never got on the headphones, never made any announcement. Oh, after review, the play was confirmed or upheld or whatever. None of it. We just kind of looked at Charlotte. We just shutting this whole thing down because it's fourth quarter. Like, what's happening right now? And obviously it became a big thing because they scored a touchdown and bust the spread and bust the under. So it blew up my card all in about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But and then the other weird thing was they never showed a replay at the stadium. So we never saw it. We literally saw it live and that was it.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was weird.
They showed several replays after it happened, and then they went to commercial break. And I mean, I can't remember which one it was. One of the announcers, they actually said, you know, I mean, he's down, this is going to get overturned. Well, you know, they're going to review it. We'll, you know, tell you what happens after the commercial break. They came back, and South Carolina had the ball. And it was just like, what?
Yeah. So offensively,
it was very odd.
Offensively, I can just tell you that in stadium, JT looked as about locked in as I've seen him. I mean, he pretty much looked like he wasn't going to miss a throw all night. And it was about as good a start as you could want. And I mean, once again, as he said all summer, he's just distributing the football, man. What was 9 more guys had catches last night?
Yeah.
Big game, and I was happy to see it because I think he's been kind of been itching to break out, and I think it's going to continue to happen as the season progresses. But Adnan Mitchell, big game last night.
He did have a big game, and he and I love the fact that he's a hands catcher because most young guys are body catchers, and then they learn to catch with their hands as they go on. Every time he catches the ball, he catches with the hands, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Y'all can't see it because y'all are listening, but Boss just saw me freak out. And the reason is that is literally almost word for word what I told my brother Chris at the game last night. The drive where he scored the touchdown, it was pretty much his drive. You know, he had that first down catch on the left sideline, which was a beautiful hands catch. And I looked at him like, I just love that this guy is a hands catcher. Like we had talked about it at spring day, that he's just very away from the body, like pop, 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 like everything's a stick. And I will say, seeing him again last night in person, his body type, he's rangy. Like, I don't know. He's going to have a really, really good career, I think, if he stays healthy. I thought Marcus looked good last night. He had a little burst last night, too. He had a couple catches. And there was somebody else that I kept telling Chris that I thought looked good on offense last night. Kendall had a cut last night. And the guy's ankles are still at the 25-yard line at Dooley Field. I mean, it was an insane cut. It was on that run that I think it was his biggest gain of the day. But, yeah. I mean, he just left the guy grasping at air, and it was awesome. James had a good night. The yards per carry were better?
It's just not a cohesive unit yet, and that's just – against the teams we're playing right now, it's fine. But Schaefer, like I said earlier, Schaefer played better. That was Schaefer's best game of the season so far. But Erickson had his worst game of the season so far. So we have not had a game where we've had solid guard play from both players. And I don't know if we're to the point where we're ready to slide Salyer in and try Jones at left tackle. I mean, next, if we're going to do it and try it for a full game in the beginning, next week's the week because Arkansas is not the week we want to try that.
No.
So I think if we're going to try it to start out, I mean, it's not like we can't always switch it back, you know, if things don't go well the first couple drives. But I think if we're going to try it extensively, next week's the week because I think that we need Salyer inside. It's not that I don't think Erickson's a good player. It's just he's better with – two solid guys on his hips. That's the player he is.
I think that's been evident in the interior running game too. Like what you're saying, that's dead on. There is no, hey, we're going to bust one for 10 yards up the middle. I mean, we just haven't seen that yet. It's like you're running into a concrete barrier when they try to run anything in, you know, the 2 and 3 hole. And then the toss game, the edge game, has been really the bread and butter of the running game thus far. And that may speak as much to how well the perimeter receivers are blocking on the perimeter as anything. And I do think they're trying to utilize the speed of the backs to get them out in space, especially James, because they don't want him busting up between the guards all night, which I get. How did Zeus look on TV?
Zeus looks good. I mean, Zeus has looked good on TV and in person. He's looked good every game, but he needs the carries to get, you know, juiced up to go. Like he needs that rhythm. So that's the biggest thing with him. But I mean, that two play drive that he had, you could tell he was starting to feel it, and then he didn't touch the ball the rest of the game. Yeah. So, but at that point, the game was over too. It was 33-6. So it's not like he needed to touch the ball the rest of the game.
Did anybody have 10 carries last night? Did Kendall get to 10? I don't think anybody else had double-digit carries, did they?
No. If Kendall got to 10, he was the only one.
Yeah, I want to say he was at like 10 for 66 yards or something, but I think he was the only one that got the double-digit carries.
Yeah.
I thought Kenny had some bursts last night too.
Kenny always has bursts every single time. And they, I like the fact they were finally getting him involved early. That's the first time that we've seen that. Normally he's normally they don't get him involved early. Like it's usually, you know, second, late, you know, end of the half and then third quarter that he finally gets some run. But he was getting run in the first quarter, which is nice to see.
Yeah. Hey, did you see the tweet yesterday? I can't remember which one of the media members tweeted it out, but I guess it was like when they had gotten in the press box. And it was kind of the tweet that solidified that JT was going to start. And it said JT is listed as the starter on the depth chart. And then it said at tight end and at star, or at star, it's listed as Latavius Brenny or Tyke Smith. And so people are like, wait a minute, Tyke Smith can play tonight? And then I guess apparently it also listed Darnell Washington as the tight end. And so not,
I was like, I didn't hear about that.
But they were both street clothes last night. I mean, no boots, which somebody had tweeted last week, so that was the expectation. But and not that they needed to play last night. It was just an interesting kind of little tidbit as we were getting ready to go watch the game. I was wondering if they were going to come out, and then obviously Brock has another good game. I thought Latavius had another good game. I mean, So it's wild to think, as good as they've been weeks one through three, that there are still big time impact players that are not playing right now because of injury that could come back. And some we know will come back.
Yeah. I mean, Kyrus finally got some wide receiver playing time. Got his first catch of the season last night.
Yeah. That was the other one I was going to ask you about, is if you noticed how many plays he got, because we saw that he was lining up and saw the catch obviously. And so we were happy about that, but I just didn't know how he looked. I mean, I think he's looked great straight line on special teams, but I think what they're nervous about, whatever is going on with his knee, they seem to be nervous about the cutting and dynamic movements that way and all that type of stuff. But yeah, I think
he didn't get a ton of playing time. He didn't get a ton of playing time, but I mean, I think that they felt that, you know, they wanted to get him in there, get him some reps, but they didn't need him to win that game.
I didn't see him, but again, we were kind of all over the place looking around at stuff. Did Arian play at all last night, or was he out?
I did not see him play at all.
With the injuries, like with Arian's, right? It seems like a little nagging thing. And I think they're just going, okay, do we have to play them right now against South Carolina? And I think they figured out the answer is no. So we're just going to let this thing rest so it doesn't turn into something bigger than it could be. And obviously they'll have that luxury next week too. JT looked good though. Speaking of injuries, I mean, he didn't look hampered. Threw the deep ball great.
I thought he looked
real
great,
real good zip on the ball.
He looked great. And the only thing that, I mean, it took him a while to get back in rhythm after coming out for that, you know, drive, well, play when Stetson came in. It took him a while to get back in rhythm. You could tell the next couple of drives, he was a little off. But once he got back in rhythm, he was back to being lights out.
Did they say anything about that on the broadcast? Because we were in the stadium, like, did JT get hurt? Like, did he aggravate on that last throw? And then we saw him.
They said that the plan was that when they talk to whoever they talk to, when they're doing their game prep, that the plan was for both quarterbacks to play. So, and Emerson tweeted that he thought the plan was going to be to do the same plan that was with Stetson and Beck the week before, to do 2-1-2-1. So Daniels 2, Stetson 1, Daniels 2, Stetson 1. But then after Bennett threw the pick on the first time, they clearly scrapped that and were like, all right, JT, it's your show until, you know, the end of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was like an interesting thing in our section. People were talking about it going, wait a minute, like what's going on right now? Because he came out, everybody goes, wait, is that Stetson? And they're like, oh no, everybody's kind of like, oh no, do you think JT like re-aggravated the oblique? And then the pick happens like before we could even finish the conversation. And then, well, they went like 3 and out and it was a field goal, didn't they? I mean, it was pretty quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 3 and out and a field goal. And then JT comes back out.
Yeah, so then we were like, well, I don't know. That was a little bit of a confusing piece, because I just guess our impression going into it was that if he was healthy, he would play, and then Stetson would come in if it got to be garbage time. But yeah, so that was a little bit interesting. Good to see Jackpot Lesney hit one in the what has been the danger zone.
You have no idea. Like, I was like nervous when that was going on. I was like, yeah. And I was talking to Jen about it. And she was like, isn't he supposed to make these? I was like, yes, but he hasn't. So you don't understand how big this is.
Yeah. And then third straight week, defense puts points on the board with the safety.
Yep. So 16 points scored by the defense so far this
season. Can we talk about South Carolina's offense and just one particular play? I guess it was fourth quarter. Kid had what has to be one of the catch of the year nominees.
Oh, I mean, yeah. That was great.
It was insane.
That was a great play. But it wasn't even the play of the day because you saw that. Did you see that interception in the Oklahoma-Nebraska game?
Oh, that was ridiculous. That was like Odell-esque.
But like behind him, like Superman and through the air. That was one of the best plays I've ever seen. That was ridiculous.
Speaking of Oklahoma, Nebraska, not an excellent week for your boy when it comes to the spreads.
Oh, no, I had a terrible week too. So
yeah, it was tough day for your boy. Yeah, it was an interesting day in college football in general, but I thought Georgia was same old story, right? I mean, they came out, looked focused, dominated, and now on to next week, and they'll go to Nashville and then dominate Vandy. I mean, what do you think the spread's going to be on that game?
No, well, I mean, South Carolina was what ended up being 31.5. I'd be shocked if it's not at least that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big number again.
I mean, it might be more than that because, I mean, especially with you got to add in the added hatred right now. Now, I know that it's a new coach, right, but the added hatred of the cancellation of the senior of the last game for the seniors last year, like Kirby's gonna want to just beat this team into the ground.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, that it's gonna get ugly in Nashville, even though it's a noon kick and all those things. It's gonna be ugly. All right. Well, am I missing anything? Is there anything else you wanted to chat about, or did we hit all the boxes there? I think, you know, they looked like they should have looked. They stayed focused.
No, I mean,
they came out and did what they were supposed to, did their job. The standard is the standard. And now we're on to the next bludgeoning that we're going to hand out next week.
Yeah, Dogs fans need to get their heads out of their keisters with this because there's been too much griping on social media about how a 27-point win against an SEC team, you know, didn't look that impressive. I'm like, yes, they looked disinterested in the last 15 minutes of the game, but come on, get over it. You know, that was a demolishing of an SEC team. It's not like we were playing, you know, Sisters of the Poor yesterday, guys. That's still an SEC team, whether you like it or not.
And that game, there was never a tense moment in that game.
Like, no, not one.
Not even a held breath. It was just all dogs all night, and it's going to be just like that next week. So, yeah, I'm telling you, man, Dogs fans, just breathe it in, folks. Like, live in the light. It's a beautiful time to be a Dogs fan right now. Live in the light, folks. And we are going to leave you with that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so until our preview episode this week for the Vandy game, go Dogs, sick 'em.
Go Dogs.
Hey, Georgia's better now.